Welcome to the In His Voice podcast, hosted by me, Rob L. Lowe, where we talk about the trials and tribulations that affect boys and men without ever bashing women. We talk about everything from the bedroom to the boardroom, from the playground to the stadium, and everything in between. And today's no different, because today we're going to unpack something from my past. Today I have a special guest on the show. I'm going to introduce him in a second, but it is a good friend of mine. He's a mentor. This brother is a member of Omega Psi Phi, and his role in my life was pivotal. It actually changed the trajectory of my future. So today's show is really about pouring into others and why that's important. With no further ado, I want to introduce my guest to this week's episode, Mr. Ezell Mars.
Good afternoon, and thank you so much. It's an honor and a privilege just to be here with you. Certainly, you talk about when we first met some 30 years ago and our chance meeting and how that impacted your life. But I think over the course of life, you've done phenomenal things. And I'm really just honored to be a part of the next journey in your career and your life.
Man, thank you. You know, I'm a paint the backdrop for us. But I want you to introduce yourself, man. Talk about what you do, where you're from. You know, I already said you're a member of Omega, and then we'll go into the rest of the show.
Well, I'm right here in Indianapolis, IPS, grew up in the hood, so to speak, but actually in the neighborhood. It was a great experience growing up. IPS student, Shortridge High School and all that, and was very much a non-traditional student. Left and went immediately to IU and ended up at Ball State, which is where I graduated from. And really am now on about my fourth career, right? So my early career was in HR leadership.
Yeah.
And I did some great things as I grew in HR leadership. And from there, did some entrepreneurial things, then back in HR for a period of time. And ultimately, I retired from full-time work at Martin University, where I had a great career in education.
Wow, man. Well, you know, our story goes back till 1995. Actually, it goes back before that. It goes back to 1993. So in 1994, you was working for insurance.
Indiana Insurance Company.
Yep. And my best friend, high school friend named Mike Brown. So Mike, if you're watching this, thank you, brother. My best friend, Mike, worked in the company there. I think he worked in the mailroom at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I had just graduated college, Indiana State University, in December of 92. I was looking for my first job. And I wanted to be an underwriter, believe it or not. Coming out of college, I wanted to be an underwriter. And he knew I wanted to. So he's like, I got this guy named Ezell Mars. He's a cool brother, Rob. I want to introduce you to him. So we talked, exchanged emails in like early 93, but it was brief, nothing. So now fast forward, May 1995, and this is going to be in the book. So I'm at Indiana State University. I enrolled in the spring of 95, I enrolled in grad school because of some personal things that was happening in my life. I was homeless and, you know, I was in fear of my life and really just a bad situation. So I enrolled in grad school. I'm in grad school. You know, my first semester, I'm there full time because I got a roof over my head now. And in May of 1995, or late April, I decided to go to the Career Center to look for a job. And as I walked through the Career Center, I'm there looking for a job because I'm about to be homeless. At the end of this semester, I got a car and that's it. I don't have nowhere to live. And I'm thinking, if I can get me a job for the summer, then I can go to summer school and I'll stay down here and figure it out. And I remember walking through the Indiana State Career Center, and you walked outside this room. I had on shorts. It was summertime or, you know, spring. And you said, hey, young man. I said, yes, sir. He's like, you want an interview with me? I said, well, I'm not dressed. He said, that's all right. My 3 o'clock didn't show up. And I went in there and you introduced yourself and you interviewed me for a claims adjuster role. And a couple of weeks later, you tell me, hey, Rob, you're making it to the second round. You brought me to Indianapolis. I'm in a room with probably 15, 20 people. I think there might have been one other person that looked like me in the whole class. And they offered all the roles to Indianapolis to other people, and they had a role for Louisville. And you was like, Rob, I'd love to give you a chance to come work for us, but you have to move to Louisville. And I said, well, Ezell, I don't have any money, but can you get me a sign-on bonus? He's like, I'll get you a sign-on bonus of $500. You'll get it when you start, but at least it'll be there your first pay period. So I gave the backstory.
Wow.
Because, man, I was about to be homeless.
Yeah.
And what I thought was supposed to happen in 93 didn't happen until 1995, how God orchestrated it, when I needed you most.
Wow.
And then here we are in, I think it's July of 2021. I come back to Indianapolis to work for this company. After being gone since 1997, right? Meaning not living here. I come back, I go to Martin University, which is where you're working at the time. You're an executive over there. And we're at this big gala, my first time in the room, and I see you. And you walk over to me, you say, you probably don't remember me. I said, brother, I absolutely remember you. I was like, what you don't know is you saved my life. If not, at least changed it. And so this show is about you, and I really want to understand. You may not remember the details of how we met, but you've done that so many times in your career. Tell me about where that comes from with you, Ezell.
Well, you know, you just said so much, and there's so much to unpack there. First of all, I had obviously had no idea about your story, but many times when we're in a space, and you've been certainly in corporate HR and others where you're tasked with bringing great talent to the company, we just want to make sure there's as much diversity long before, you know, diversity is what it is, you know, what it is now. You just want to make sure that there's a balanced kind of field of candidates, right?
Yeah.
And something about the way you presented yourself without knowing, in spite of the difficulties, right, grabbed my attention, right? So it's about helping people, not just because you have a quota to fill or a number you want to make sure, but you know, your gift makes way for you, as we've talked about, and it's really creating an environment where you can make a difference. And frankly, there's all kind of reciprocity and karma and other things along with it that maybe if I help someone, I've got three daughters who are now grown, right?
Yeah.
And maybe I haven't always been able to help them, but somebody else does, right? And there's others that I interact with that maybe I can't do everything that I should, but somebody else does. So I think when you're helping people, you're creating an environment where we're all uplifting each other. As you know, almost cliche as that sound, we're making a difference for other people's lives in addition to our own, right? And somehow, maybe someone's doing that for us, right? So I have had occasion. My earliest time of really thinking about mentorship was at Allstate, which was my HR career before Indiana Insurance Company. And there was a very intentional focus they had even back at that time on mentoring and creating relationships to help people grow. Right. And one thing that comes to mind, and I'll shut up, this story just comes to mind, is that I had made a couple of changes, been promoted a couple of times. And one of the areas I was about to be promoted back to was a leadership team of four.
Okay.
And there were already three African-Americans, the senior HR leader, as well as the two other division directors that were on the team.
Wow.
Were African-Americans. So the whole brouhaha was, you're the right guy, but
I was saying, they let that happen?
Well, it did, because somebody else, Jim Legg is his name, recently passed away, great brother that was at, you know, the very senior level at home office for Allstate, made the basic point that if it was three white people, nobody would say anything. Why should it matter that it's now going to be an all African-American leadership team, right? And he made that case, which made a way for me to come, right? Mm. So in terms of helping people, right, it's a reciprocal situation, right? Somebody's going to help you because what you did to help this young brother that's working the camera. Right? All of that is how we help each other.
You know, it's amazing you say that because they can't see who's behind the camera filming for us. So Braylon Harrington, talented young producer, up and coming. You know, his mom, Holly, his dad, Brian, and they told us about him. And you're right. I take what you did for me and I'm doing it for other people.
Yeah.
Right. I'm like, man, I see talent. I see someone that has a desire. They just need an opportunity. That's all it takes, man. Most people just want an opportunity. And I can teach a skill. I can't teach a will.
Yeah.
Right. If you got the will, I can invest in the skill. You know, when we think about our role as men, so there's we have so much in common, right? I feel like I followed your footpath. So there's HR professionals, there's men inside a black fraternity, there's fathers of daughters, husbands, and now entrepreneurs, right? Of all the Rob Lowe's you helped in the world before I came along and told my story, were there other ones that came later to you and said, I got to tell you, you changed my life, or you had a significant impact on my life?
You know, it's a great question. And the answer is not really that directly, but in an implied way based on, you know, where they ended up. Actually, somebody literally I just connected with on LinkedIn just was ending up her HR career. And one of the things that strikes me is that what we talk about in terms of helping people doesn't come without risk. Right. Because in your case, it was a great story because you represented very well. Yeah. I said, I met this young brother at Indiana State. He's a good candidate for our program. You interviewed well, you presented well, and you moved along fairly easily through the process. But I've had a couple of times where, you know, on the one hand, I was in a position of leadership where I was told it's your decision. On the other hand, what I got indirectly was, I'm not sure you should hire that person because they're too young or female or whatever it was, but it's your decision.
Yeah.
Right. So what we also got to face is that sometimes we have to live with our decisions and help make sure that the person that we select and help is successful.
Yeah.
Right. So we're investing in it from that standpoint, not only getting them there, but helping them grow.
You know, you said something earlier. We opened up the doors for people. But I've been in that situation where I was afraid to bring one more in because I was worried about the backlash or the perception like he's only hiring people of color. But when I looked around the room, there was no one else who was hiring people of color.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And not because I don't know if they didn't do it intentionally, but it just never resonated with them to look around the room and say, yeah, there's no one and here's a people of color. And naturally, people tend to hire or surround themselves with people that they're most comfortable with. It's just a natural instinct. But unless you're aware and self-aware, like to be able to do that and make that change, a lot of people don't. And so because I've had that reservation, or I've had that reservation several times, I got to the point in my career, the same way the guy who worked for or who you worked for said, I said, look, other people do it and they don't think twice. I'm going to hire the best person, regardless of what they look like. But there are times where I will give a very conscious decision made to hire a person of color with the understanding that they are the best person and they have the skills to do the job, right? But there are times when I hire people who I think were the best person and they turn out not to deliver.
Yeah.
Right? And you just sit back, whether it's a person of color, non-person of color, male or female, but when it's someone who is a minority, a woman or person of color, and you put them in the role and you give them an opportunity and they've earned it, right? They interviewed, they had the skill, and they're not successful. I don't think they understand the impact that they have on us as leaders, of the folks who bring them in, who's trying to open up doors. You ever had experience like that?
I have. And, again, you try to have a balanced view of what you provide, right?
Yeah.
As I said, we still have to pour into everyone that we're hoping will grow, but it's not always a perfect situation. There may be many reasons that it doesn't work out.
Yeah.
And I've been in situations where it's the reverse, meaning there's diversity is not the issue that we're trying to address, but still diverse talent has a different spotlight, right? So as we look to, you know, make connections, there have been a couple of times where it just hasn't been. It really, sometimes it's not like, it's not the right fit, because I don't think it's always as simple as that, because every plant needs water to grow, right? There has to be a little sunshine and the right combination of other things to help cultivate the garden, so to speak, right? So sometimes it's not just, is it the right person or not? Environments are often challenging. Other factors come into play. So it's a matter of how all those things come together. But still, we make the best investment that we can to help everyone succeed in our environment. Again, forget diversity now. What we're charged with is help everybody be successful in our environment.
What's been the hardest part of your journey, you know, as a HR executive, corporate executive, man who opens up doors for people. What's been the hardest part for you?
Wow, that's a good question. I don't know in terms of difficulty,
yeah,
kind of where that lands, but I think there's still a matter, and you alluded to it, of finding top talent or the right talent for the situation, because, you know, minority is something where it's almost cliche to say that, but how do, especially for challenging and difficult jobs, how do you really, really seek out and ferret out the right talent, mm-hmm, for the situation, and not stop with, well, I've checked this box or that box, but really find the right talent for the positions you're seeking to fill or opportunity or whatever it is. And that's not always easy, even though you can increase the pipeline. That is to say, you can find minorities in spite of the fact that many would say, well, you know, we just can't find them. There's nobody in this. And there was a period of time, I think right after you and I met, where I was specifically focused on IT. So, mm-hmm, I was the HR leader, mm-hmm, just for the IT organization, mm-hmm, right? So even now, we'll say that for certain skill set, yeah, there's just not a talent pool out there. There are fewer. And that's a true statement. There, mm-hmm, are fewer. Well, you just got to work harder, mm-hmm, to get there.
What's been your most rewarding job?
Honestly speaking, of all the things I've done in my career, I really enjoy, because I'm still connected there, the work that I did and the work that I do at Martin University.
Okay.
Because in a different way, I think we make a difference in people's lives. We help people like yourself that are finishing their education with the idea that they're going to begin a career that's going to change their lives. Right. And in that space, again, hate to say it, but it's, you know, Martin University, the only predominantly black institution in the state of Indiana.
Yep.
We're focused on a different demographic and we're making a different difference in people's lives. And quick shout out for Martin University. You know, the average age and demographic is much different. Non-traditional students who are sometimes restarting their lives after, I went to school right out of high school, didn't work out, started a family, other things happened.
Mm-hmm.
And now I really want to change my life. And I think that it's gratifying to help people. That's why I love your story, man. I love having reconnected with you, is because, I mean, it really warms my hopes, my heart, to know that it made a difference in your life. Even when we weren't connecting, I'm on LinkedIn seeing that you're doing phenomenal things out of Florida and here, yeah, and there in the HR world. So just knowing that you just, you know, really, really made the best of every opportunity that came your way makes me feel good.
You know, before we started filming, we talked about, what, like, we had cigars last night. So everybody knows I'm a cigar guy. So I love it, because whenever I come to Indianapolis, man, I can always count on you. Man, when I tell you, you are a brother for me, an older brother, I am grateful for you. Last night we talked about, I was discouraged, you know, I walked away from corporate America to go start this entrepreneur thing, right? I walked away to go finish my autobiography, to do this podcast, and to do motivational speaking and leadership retreats for organizations. The name of the book is called So What? Keep Going, A Story of Resilience. And really, that is the capstone of my life.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's been so many things that were thrown at me and I had to deal with and overcome. You know, there were many times I could have just threw in the towel and said, it'll never change, it'll never get better. And I had to keep going. I'm giving the backdrop because, well, last night we were talking and I told you, like, I'm working on my book, and the person who was going to edit the book had it 3 weeks and quit. Well, then quit, notified me and said that some things came up in their family dynamics and they couldn't work on it. I get it. But that was 3 weeks I was waiting with no, mm-hmm, answer and no progress. And I'm already 6 weeks behind schedule.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm reaching around. I'm trying to find people. I found the editor, talented young lady out of Tallahassee. And I reached out to her, talked about what I need. We talked about what she's trying to do. And it literally was, God sent her to me and sent me to her. And it goes to what we were talking about earlier, man. Like, sometimes that path that you take, you just never know. For you, it might be hard. But that path is intended for someone else to meet you along the way.
Mm-hmm.
So your path coming to Indiana State, Indiana Insurance, your path to meet Michael. Even last night or to last night, you told me about Danola, mm-hmm. right? Because I'm going to have to go publish the book and market the book. And he's like, well, I know a lady named Danola. So I says, you know, that's Michael Brown's older sister. You're like, yo, that's crazy.
It is.
Now, here, now, we're talking 30-something years later. Michael Brown, my best friend, and then the person you mentioned just happened to be his sister.
That's what I mean.
You see how God keep connecting them dots? Yeah. And that's what I think. That's the beauty of our friendship. Like, bro, I went away, and when I saw you at Martin University, I promise you it didn't feel like 30 years.
Yeah.
I felt like that young 20-year-old dude that you just interviewed in the Career Center. Like, you may have saw me that day and was like, man, I got to go talk to him. Maybe he doesn't remember me.
Mm-hmm.
And when I saw you, dude, that's all I could think about. That was the greatest joy for me that day.
That's crazy. That's crazy. Yeah, well, it's a blessing to connect and reconnect now. And now the other benefit that comes is everyone's path evolves, right? And there are things to this day that from your path as it expanded really can pour into my life, right? So we had some conversations where now I'm learning from you based on what you've done along the way. So I think that, again, you can't, you know, discount the reciprocal relationships and the karma factor. And certainly you touched on it, man. There is, whatever you believe, there is divine intervention, right?
Absolutely.
There is some blessing component of all of this, like for us and all the people that we connect to.
What would you tell, I always ask this in my podcast for my guests. And I guess because of our relationship, I have two questions for you. What would you go back and tell the Ezel that was in Indiana State back in 1995? What would you tell him who's going to meet someone like me that doesn't know my story? But based on everything you learned, if you could go back and see a young person trying to better their career, is there anything that you have learned over the years that you would have said, okay, young man, I'm going to give you some advice now, even in this interview or as you go into your next step. Yeah. Is there anything you would have?
Well, I mean, I'm talking to me. So don't let challenges and what seemed like failure slow you down.
Yeah.
Right, because it's a door that's opening to another path, right? I've had in my own life, and certainly you've had in yours, I'm listening to you and paying close attention, things that seemed like it was a diversion when it really is a new direction, right? So maybe you're thinking, well, I thought this is where, because I had a couple of times in my career where I thought this is where I was going. Mm. It turns out that's not where I was going, and that God prepared me for where I ultimately am going with those things along the way that seemed like roadblocks and hurdles. So don't be afraid to iterate and to change. Don't be afraid to fail. It's always said, fail often. I mean, fail fast.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have some challenges. Go ahead, address that, accept that, and then move forward. Learn from that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Don't be, you know, crazy enough to make a mistake and not have it teach you anything, right? So that's the thing that I think is important. You know, Mandela said, you know, I never lose. I either win or I learn.
Or I learn from it.
So there we are.
You know, when I left Indiana Insurance Company, I was there for over a year. I went to Louisville. And the reason I left, now, this is my first real job. I got a car. I got an apartment. I've never had these things before. And I had one of my fraternity brothers, my line brothers, was doing really well. He had an MBA from Florida A&M.
Mm.
He was making probably $30,000 more than I was. But at that point, I started off at 24, 26, and I went up to 30. I had never made that type of money before in 1995, right? So that was a big deal for me. But I remember him telling me, I was like, Lou, like, you know, I really want to grow and get to the next level. And when I took the job, I went to Louisville. I was actually still going to Indiana State online part-time.
Mm-hmm.
So I worked for Indiana Insurance Company, and every weekend I would drive to Sellersburg, Indiana,
okay.
Go to the Ivy Tech campus, watch your remote, and then once a month drive 3 hours one way to Terre Haute to be in person, and then drive back, right? And I did that because I was trying to get to 12 credit hours with a 3.7 GPA so I could qualify for a scholarship. That's what the dean told me. So I was still working. and doing it on the side. But I remember leaving Indiana Insurance and going back to grad school, giving up my apartment, giving up a job that was more than I had ever made, ever. Going back to grad school, getting loans, sharing an apartment with a childhood friend, and getting on food stamps. I got $99 a month food stamps. I had a job on campus, and I'm living with someone. But you talked about sometimes don't be afraid of fear. Don't be afraid of failure. The path that you think you might be on might not be the long-term path. Because I thought Indiana Insurance was the end-all, be-all for me. That's it. Remember, you gave me an opportunity. I was about to be homeless. So even in that scenario, God put you in my life to send me somewhere else so someone else could come in my life and pour into me so that I can go get ready for the next move. Before you wrap up and hang up your hat on this corporate thing, is there any one thing you want to achieve that you haven't?
You know, I don't have a big bucket list of things I still need to do. I mean, I'm not at this point thinking about anything. Boy, I sure wish I had a, and I don't regret that much what I've done. They say often, right, people really, rather than the things that you've done you regret, sometimes there are the things that you haven't done that you regret. But I really feel that I've been blessed from a career standpoint. You know, my current role leading, you know, an executive search firm is still going to be focused on helping top talent get connected with opportunities. So, you know, I continue to do that is what I'll be focused on. But I can't say, boy, I sure hope I get to do this thing, because I think right now I also do work in the diversity space, and that's very gratifying as well. Also helping, you know, elevate, you know, the whole minority conversation, you know, from DRTC, I mean, whatever conversation, whatever acronyms you have, DEI, DEIB, DIA, all yeah. Those are various acronyms, but still that's an important body of work too. So I just want to continue to grow in that space.
Well, man, you continue to inspire me. You continue to open up doors for me to do amazing things. And when it's all said and done, when I hang up my cleats on this, for I hope that my work is a true testament to your legacy.
Man,
that's what I
you.
Want.
Appreciate you.
Brother Mars.
My brother, man.
Brother,
appreciate you a lot.
Hey, thank you for joining the show.
Yes.
I hope y'all enjoyed it. Thank you for tuning into this week's podcast. Episode, and we'll see you next time on In His Voice. Take care.